This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock and the Money Podcast, episode 115. It's time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey, Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda. She's a corporate in-house lawyer, real estate referral agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. I'm chuckling a little bit, Amanda, because I do this live stream on Facebook daily, and people come in there have never heard me before, and they'll say, "Kids, don't smoke," or, "Oh my God, what do you smell? You smoke 100 cigarettes a day?"
Yeah, you sound terrible.
It's not awful. I know. Yeah, so I need to recover from this. I really need to do that. So
you do. Yeah. Yeah, I do. All right. So I will try and do most of the talking today.
That was my hint to you to help me. Help me, Amanda.
Right.
You're always covering my back.
Yes. So today we have a straightforward show. We have six social media questions that'll cover a broad range of topics. This one's directed directly to you, Craig. So you may have to talk. Question one. Hey, Craig, we are expecting a baby by the end of the year. We have a fully funded emergency fund. Should I stop or modify my contributions on my 403 and Roth? I am a nurse and my wife is a stay-at-home mom taking care of our three-year-old daughter. Thank you.
Great question, by the way.
It is. Yeah.
It is. And this is very similar to the pandemic advice that we've given. So if you have a baby on the way, here's what we coach. You stop contributions to everything. You pause your baby steps is what we're trying to do here. Okay. Now, this is a very situational, Amanda, because here's the way I look at this. Let me finish my first thought. First, we pause the baby steps and we build up our emergency fund beyond the standard. And we do that in case something goes wrong with the baby. We're sure everything's going to be fine. But in case, I know this is a weird way of answering, but it's reality. If something happens, we want to have that money there. Like, let's say it's a preemie. It's going to be in the hospital much longer. You need to take additional time off. You don't have the sick leave, yada, yada, yada. You still need the income to pay bills. That's what we're talking about.
Right.
Now, if the baby is born, everything's fine, thumbs up from the doctor, then we resume the baby steps. Now, let's back up. That's your standard advice, correct, Amanda? Is there anything else missing?
Okay. No,
that was brief. Now, let's back up. Let's say you are not in baby step two, which is you have debt. Let's say we have the fully funded.
They're not because they have their fully funded emergency fund.
Yeah, so I'm assuming they're on baby step four, five, and six. I personally would have no problem pausing everything but the contributions to retirement. But if you can build up, I don't know how far they are. Well, the end of the year. We're 9 months away. It's a pandemic, baby. Come on. We got plenty of time here. So if they want to continue doing that, I would have no problem. If you can continue building your emergency fund and put money in your retirement, I would be okay with that. I just want to have that extra padding in there in case you needed to take extended time off, in case something goes wrong. Historically, things don't go wrong.
Especially since you're already down to just one income.
Right. So I would be okay with continuing that. And you're going to know after the first few sonograms and that if you're at risk or not. And does your family have a risk? A vast majority of people have no problems, but we want to be prepared.
So the summary here is stockpile some additional cash and then continue on with your maximum contributions to your 403 and Roth once the baby is born.
And everything else, just stockpile your emergency fund. Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Yep. That's our standard coaching.
So question number two, I just got scolded by my accountant for not having $40,000 in my checking account available for an emergency. I thought it was ludicrous to have that money sitting in the checking account and not working for me, so I'm not going to do it. What do you think?
Well, you definitely wrote the wrong show then, because we agree with the accountant. So go ahead, Amanda.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what your monthly expenses are. So we do coach 3 to 6 months of expenses in a liquid account like checking or savings. We should be keeping it in a separate account from where your regular, monthly payments are made from. Right. So you'd want it to, I personally suggest a savings account rather than checking account.
Right. Yeah.
For that very reason, you don't want to be using it on a day to day. So this generally works out to mean that this person has about $6,666 in monthly expenses, which may be a little high. So maybe $40,000 is high. Depends, again, on what your expenses are each month. You want to take those expenses, multiply them by six, and that's how much money you should have just sitting, doing nothing, but just sitting and waiting for any type of emergency in a separate savings account. And again, I prefer high yield interest savings accounts. They're usually with your online banks like Marcus by Goldman Sachs or Ally. I use Marcus myself. Anything above and beyond the 6 months of emergency fund, then certainly I agree you can be putting that to work in either a tax advantage retirement account or a brokerage account.
I like this accountant.
Yes.
It's a good accountant.
Yes.
See,
I mean,
we're
it
not
may be high depending on
up.
What your expenses are, but.
But we're not making this stuff up, people. Even accountants say it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's basic. Anyway.
Because not only do you not want, so I know people are like, but it could be making money. Well, it also could be losing money. Right. So you don't want that. You need your emergency money to be there when you need it. None of us have a crystal ball and know when the market's going to take a turn or a dive. So imagine if an emergency came up the week after the pandemic happened and everyone's accounts, you know, took a huge hit, then that emergency money is not going to be there for you.
Well-run companies have emergency funds.
Yes.
Yeah. Next question three.
Number three. It might be a stupid question for investments, but if I put in 10% and my husband puts in 5%, does that mean it is 15% of our household income?
Yes. Yeah. That would be basic math.
Yes.
10 plus 5 is 15, correct?
Yes. Yes.
However,
I think this is probably people thinking that you individually have to put in 15% of your individual income. And no, it's calculated off of your household income.
Yeah, there you go.
If you each can do 15%, that's terrific.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, that's a stretch. So 15% of the household income is what the goal is.
Hmm.
And
that
yes,
was
10
easy.
Plus 5 equals 15.
Which is part of your budget.
Yes.
15%. And yes. The 25 for a house. Yeah, yeah, yada.
Mm-hmm.
All right, perfect. Let's take a quick break. And we got three more questions to hit. All right, we'll be back yes. right after this. You're listening to Rock on Money.
Stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Back to Rock on the Money with Amanda and Craig. Checks out our podcast. We are everywhere, Amanda.
We are.
Literally everywhere. You have no excuse. And people, I like how they come into the group and they admit they had no excuse. And now they're catching up. I love that. RockOnMoney.com.
Never too late to learn too late. And to start doing things correctly.
You don't want to find out when it's too late. At some point, it will be too late.
It's never too late.
I know, but if you get up to a certain age, reality does set in. And I don't know what that age is.
Yeah, it's probably different for everyone, but yes.
But if you get in the 60s, you have nothing. I have bad news for you.
Yeah, it's going to be rough.
This is going to be very rough. We have three more questions.
Oh, speaking of, question number four, I'm 29 with $82,000 in retirement. Am I on pace or way behind?
Wow.
No, I think that this person's definitely on pace.
Wow. It takes a lot to get to 82 when you're first starting.
It does. Yeah.
That's amazing.
This is terrific. Again, we have talked about before, and we'll just do a quick little recap now about the rule of 72, right?
Yeah, I was getting ready to do that on a piece of paper. Like, see, if he did nothing else, he or she did nothing else from this point on, I was trying to figure out what they got at 65. So what's how many years? 35 years.
35 years, more or less, to get to 65.
So if we're doubling it every 8 years, 35.
And we're doubling, well, let's just say 7 years, right?
Yeah. Okay. So double four times from this point forward. So 1600, then 3200, then 6400, 1.2 million. Huh. Right?
Without making a single additional contribution.
Without doing anything from this point forward, that $82,000 is 1.2-ish million over. Mm-hmm.
And if you continue to make contributions, that number will grow exponentially. And I think you could easily be on track for the $10 million range.
Oh, yeah. See, people find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
It's compounding returns. That's what the key is.
Yes.
It boggles my mind, Amanda, when I look at my balances. I know you do. It's amazing. It's weird.
It's very weird.
It is. Anyway, question five.
You have a great start. I think you're on pace. Continue to do what you're doing. Make sure you're continuing to make those contributions. Don't stop now just because you're looking forward to being a millionaire in 35 years. But continue to contribute and you can be definitely a multimillionaire.
And hats off for starting early. Mm-hmm. That's great. Great job. Holy crap. Question five.
This is kind of off topic, but my husband and I are looking to move after baby step number two. We are thinking Texas, Mississippi, Florida, or possibly the Carolinas. Mm. We are looking for an inexpensive area. I want to live close to the beach. Any thoughts on places you would live, have lived, or visited that we can look into?
Okay. No, can I just say something? I knew you're the real estate
expert. I would like
expert.
To know why you included this question.
Well, Texas, Mississippi, and Florida. Hurricanes. Actually, all four of those are hurricanes.
Yes.
I mean, Carolinas has ice storms up the wazoo. And having an ice storm up the wazoo is never fun. Texas and the Houston area is always having problems. Mississippi, same issue. And you are in Florida.
Yes.
So I've just found it interesting they picked those four states that have a high risk.
They are all high risk. Yeah. Yes.
So, because I keep thinking the same thing, but I'm like, I don't know, man.
Off the week here in February 2021, right. Where Texas has just had yet another major disaster, right? Like the people in Texas, pretty much the entire state, the weather dropped, the temperatures dropped to record lows, and the state froze. They have no electricity, no water for the better part of a week, and their homes are destroyed from burst pipes. Mm. So once again, Texas is hit with another disaster, not that many years after Harvey, where many people still hadn't fully recovered. So yes, Texas, not on my list of favorite places to go.
No.
They do have no state income tax, so that's a plus. Florida also does not have a state income tax, so that's sometimes something to consider. I would stay away from the coast because of the hurricane risks. even though I love being close to the water.
I do too. I want to be near the beach so bad. I'm such a beach person.
Yeah, keep in mind that the beach comes with additional hidden expenses. Like most of these areas are going to require not just your homeowner's insurance, but also flood insurance. And those rates are set usually by FEMA. It can be as much or more than your annual homeowner's insurance. So consider doubling the price of your insurance each year.
In many places along the eastern seaboard, you can't get an insurance. You will be on the hook if something happens.
Right.
Other than the flood insurance, but as far as replacing it, you can't get it. The Carolinas, like the Outer Banks. Yeah, you can't get insurance. Yeah, it's pretty bad. So it's like, I don't know if I want to take that risk.
So I think it's risky, but again, you're going to have to weigh the benefits, the pros and cons, and make your own decision.
Oh, the benefit is I get to have an office that looks at the waves. That's what I want. And go on daily walks. Because what? I mean, the odds are there. Just like you live in California. It's like,
California's got mudslides and wildfires. You know, every place is going to have its own proclivity towards some kind of disaster. So you're just going to have to figure out, is that a risk you're willing to take? And what is your mitigation plan against that inevitable happening? Like, you know, 10 years ago when Texas got really cold, the energy companies could have made changes to make sure that they were prepared for another cold snap like this, and they didn't. So, I mean, that's one of the things that happens.
And the risk we have in Washington, D.C. area is we have a big nuclear target on us. The good thing is it'll be quick and I won't feel it. Question number six.
All right. On that note. How do y'all feel about working full time and going to school? I found a position at Tesla. Only problem is that it's for full time. 1 week is 3 days, another, and four 12-hour shifts yet another week.
Oh, they must be working actually building things then. Sounds like an assembly line shift.
Yeah, it does kind of sound
not
like
working,
that.
Not working in an office thing. Well, you don't want to ask me because I believe in work. I'm a hard work guy, so.
Right. So I think it's going to come down to your personal work ethic and drive. You know, I worked full time and went to law school at night. So for 4 years, I had 6 a.m. to midnight hours. For 4 full years where my brain had to be on the entire time and working hard. So when I look back, I have no idea how I did it. But it's possible. It's going to depend on you. I would say if this is what you're going to do, you probably cannot have a family. You're not going to have any family time. You're not going to have any free time because you'll be doing homework on the weekends. Your entire weekend will be gone or your days off if you know your work schedule doesn't have weekends, but different days off. So it's totally possible. It is a short-term sacrifice. And then once you finish going to school full-time, you're going to feel like you have loads of free time.
it's
the same really as working 3 full-time jobs, I would say, because not only do you have the time dedicated to the classroom, but you have all this extra homework that is like another full-time job. I think it's a great way to come out to self-fund your education and that not take any loans. So that part I do love.
Oh, I love that. Student loans are awful.
Yeah.
Stay away from that.
And don't count on the government to forgive them either.
Oh, what? That's what I tell my kids. Nope, we're going to pay these off.
Yes.
Get it knocked out. And they are. They're all knocked out. Well, that was a great shift. So let's see what we learned. We don't want to live in Texas, Carolinas.
No offense to Texas. Yeah.
Man, that was so ugly. And I couldn't understand. I don't understand the whole behind the scenes, but I guess they're not connected to the rest of the United States grid for backup.
Most of Texas is on its own power grid, except for like El Paso.
I heard El Paso had electric. I was like, oh, because they're on the East Coast grid.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And what year is this? 2021.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Hopefully we're learning something. I don't want to get political, but I find it hard to believe in 2021. This is still going on. I don't get it. Anyway.
So we learned that. We learned that you should prepare for the birth of a child by, you know, stockpiling your cash, and you need to be putting money into a savings account for your emergency fund and not putting it at risk in the markets. And, you know, 10 plus 5 equals 15% of your household income.
And there's a 29-year-old that if they play the cards right, they'll be a multi-millionaire.
Yes.
Awesome. And anybody can do that if they want to. All right. Thank you, Amanda.
All right. Thanks, Craig.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. Rockland, USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.